Welcome to Real Stories, a show that has honest conversations from the heart. I invite you to sit back, relax, and allow our guests to speak their truth.
I am your host, Tanya Communication Doctor, and the reason I do this show is because I want to provide a space for people to speak their authentic truth, coming from a heart space rather than a head space. Allow people to get into their space of consciousness, their space of confidence, and their space of connection. This, I think, promotes positive mental health, and this is why I do what I do. Hello, this is Real Stories, and I am your host, Tanya the Communication Doctor. And today on my show, I have Sade and Christina, who are the founders of Arlaine Dance Company. Hello and welcome.
Hello.
Hello, thank you for having us.
I'm just so excited about today because dance is my passion, and it's the first time I've actually had some dancers on the show, because my career has taken a bit of a turn, in terms of the communication doctor. So I've gone from expressing myself through my body to now expressing myself through my voice. And it's so lovely here to have you both on. And as I watched you, because I've seen you on Insta and also on LinkedIn, and I've had a look at your career, and I've just been blown away. And it's been so lovely to see two beautiful Black women with athletic bodies, and I said it on purpose, you know, who are contemporary dancers. Because with my journey as a dancer, that was the one thing I was always criticized for, having a very, or not underlined prejudices, I would say, with regards to having an athletic body type when I was dancing. And it's so lovely just to see you both kind of, you know, just doing your thing. And I want to just dive straight in and kind of ask you both how you kind of got into dance and, you know, what your experiences have been.
So, the first kind of experience of dance officially, if we go backwards, was I won this like overachievement in mathematics. And this was when I was about 14, I would say. And we were both in the middle of being athletes, we were running for Enfield and Haringey. We found out we were good at running and we did it. And then we were on the verge of training for Youth England. That was kind of our direction. But I won the overachievement in mathematics, and you could do anything over the summer. And I was thinking, don't want to do anything sporty because that's what we do all the time. Don't want to do anything academic because we do that all the time. And I just thought, oh, why not dance? Because we dance in our bedrooms. We love doing little talent shows and moving around, just having fun, really. Mm-hmm. So then, without realizing, they sent me to the Northern School of Contemporary Dance for the week. And we're based in London. And I think that was the first time I went outside of London. I thought I was in Scotland or overseas. It felt far away. Left on my own without my sister and been forced to go barefoot in the studio. And that was just terrifying. But what was amazing, Sharon Watson was one of my first contemporary teachers. And she's like one of the pioneers of contemporary dance. We look up to her. And now she's the director of Northern School of Contemporary Dance. And she just kind of introduced me to a new way of expression, where all I knew was the gun goes run. That's my expression, is speed. But there was something else that was introduced to me. And we both kind of became a sucker to it, let's say. So we started to train in with athletics, but at the same time trying to look for after-school dance classes and gatherings, and how many talent shows can we do in the week that our parents will allow us to do.
That's amazing. That's really interesting. First of all, the Northern Contemporary, because I went to Bretton Hall, which is in between Barnsley and Wakefield. Mm-hmm. And I used to go to Northern on a Friday just do class there, because it was more kind of, there's more classes that you could do there at Northern. So it's really interesting because we're both Londoners, but we both found ourselves in Leeds. So dance is interesting. That's another kind of little bit of serendipity there. But what I wanted to ask was, because you are twins, yeah? And it's interesting, I always find that you sometimes you have the opposites with twins, don't you? So were you both kind of the overachievements, or were you both into the mathematics? So what was your differences there?
Well, we, as young kids, we tried to be different. And I think that was us not being ourselves. Like, I tried to find anything else that I know, good at that's different to Sade. But we both naturally were quite logical people, and we loved the physics, we loved the maths, and we were quite active as well and wanted to do anything that kind of got us out of home, really. So when we found athletics, we were like, wicked, we can do it. Also, with our parents, because there were two of us, we were had more
freedom
in the sense that, okay, as long as you two are together, you can do this. So we had a lot of permission to kind of do things on our own at a young age, and athletics training twice a week, sometimes three times, was amazing because we got to meet a lot of other people and a lot of other sprinters, a lot of people are older than us as well. So it kind of just got us kind of ahead in things. When we started dance, so we kind of got introduced to all the styles like ballet, tap, jazz, we're doing hip hop, and we were trying to fight different styles. So I tried to force myself to be like, okay, I'm gonna be a jazz dancer, I'm gonna do it, and I'm gonna sing and do everything. And Shadi kind of strictly said, I like contemporary and that is it.
Oh dear, I can already see that. It's quite interesting, really, just with those different styles of dance. But you know what? It does take different qualities, you know, with different genres. So, for example, you know, with the hip hop, I always used to love that. I loved African dance, but I couldn't get my back to move as much as I could because I was so taught with the ballet. Because, you know, sometimes if you've got too much ballet in you, you're holding on to stuff and it takes a long time to work through that. So how did you kind of decide, okay, contemporary is the style that we both are going to focus on? How'd you get to that point?
I think because contemporary is like kind of this time, it's expression, although there is like very traditional styles in contemporary dance alone, but it's still when it comes to improvisation, you're basically dancing whatever's in your body, but it's seen as contemporary. So there is that Afrofusion, the Caribbean in our bodies, the hip hop influence in our bodies, but it's just seen in a contemporary format. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something we never denied, that we never denied our athleticism, our relationship to music, even though we were put in situations where it was like classical or like industrial sounds, or, you know, just a different environment, but we never denied where we came from or what we're interested in.
No, I love that. I love that fusion in terms of, you know, bringing the whole African Caribbean side of things, you know, into the whole dance. That's really important. Okay, so just moving further in, I'm going to ask you a little bit, going back to your childhood, kind of before the athletic time, I'm just going to pick a year for me. Pick a year that you can really you really kind of experienced a feeling of joy and enlightenment, but before the dance. I just want to kind of get that a little bit of a picture of you before you got there.
Okay, I don't know what year it was, but I guess it was before secondary school, because we lived in the old house in North London. So we must have been estimately maybe around 7 or 8. And I don't know what happened, but me and Shadi were very excited. We're quite energetic people. And we were extremely quite excited. It was Christmas time. And we kind of started to play that game, The Floor is Lava. And we both started singing, jumping, skipping, jumping from each sofa, screaming like, we are family, jumping, I got all my sisters with me. And we're like,
because it's Christmas.
And yeah, we just remember going wild and excited and entertaining each other.
Yeah, it's like we had sweets or something, but I don't think we did. I think we were actually just high off life and no one was around, you know, or they were allowing us to be crazy in the house, but we were having the best time ever, and that's, we always remember that.
So we were so happy.
That's brilliant. That's really, you know what, that's lovely. So that just kind of I just picture that beautiful energy between the two of you. You're almost like two light bulbs that just have that energy and just want to keep moving, and it just makes sense to go into that dance world and to experience in that kind of a way. And it's nice that you can also be able to do that as sisters as well. Definitely. I'm going to come on to the black dancer's body, because in my experience, as I said earlier, I always felt like I was criticized. You know, I did get work, but I can remember going to an audition, a contemporary audition, actually. I won't mention the dance company's name. I'll keep that all out of it, you know, for professional reasons. But I remember being told, oh, you know, Tanya, you're a lovely dancer, but I feel that you'll be more suited to street dance. And now that was the first time that happened to me. And I was going for an audition for contemporary because I was trained in contemporary dance, not in street dance. And I look back now and I realise that was basically saying, you know, I don't want a black woman in my dance company, basically another way of saying that. So I want to ask you both if you've ever experienced anything like that, where you maybe may have used your body or your blackness with regards to dance and what you've experienced in that way.
So when we decided to take dance seriously, it was quite difficult at the time because there wasn't many people that looked like us, and especially coming not just about our skin but our bodies, and especially coming from athletics, our body was extremely muscular, like more so than we are now, and our flexibility wasn't there, so we had to work hard a lot, and we had to inspire each other. Like, I corrected Shade corrected me, just because the feedback that we were getting from the teachers were not helping.
Not encouraging.
I got called things like my body's a banana, that's like I can really remember stroking my mind.
I got shouted at, like, there's nothing there. Why are you here? You're wasting your life, during contemporary class. So that was a common thing we got all the time. Also dressed in nude color tights, which weren't nude, obviously. Leotards that didn't actually support as well, so you felt exposed. There's a lot of things you had to deal with. I think also seeing your body compared to others, I don't think we've been around, apart from athletics where everyone is muscular and fit, to be in a studio and to see how our bodies are really different from the rest of the 32 people in the classroom is quite extreme. It does mess with your mind a little bit. But to go for work, I mean, we realised that it's not a negative, but at the beginning we thought it was, that, oh, maybe you're a bit too powerful, or you're just too dynamic, or you're too strong. Maybe this one's not for you. Or it was always, oh, you're too strong for this. And in our minds, we're thinking of that, is that a negative? But it was only because we had each other, we realised, no, that's a positive. We are powerful, we are strong, but also we need to train and make sure we're good at this as well. So we have two oppositions in styles and ways of moving and performance qualities as well. And it got to the point that we had to demand, the way we entered auditions or on stage, we demanded to be seen and accepted. That was our mentality.
And you know, in a different way, when we auditioned, we never auditioned together as well. Like, we knew that we were the minority at the time, where I feel like right now there's a lot more black and brown dancers around, which is stunning, and they're looking to us for inspiration. But at the time, there wasn't so many. So me and Shadi always had a conversation of, should you do this audition or should I? So we always had that kind of conversation, so that the one person that does do the audition, you know, if the company decides to take this dancer, they'll be taking it, one, maybe because you're a minority, but one, because you've got this strength, you've got this ability. And we realized when we're both there in audition together, it was a negative, because maybe they thought they didn't want to split us up, or also it's like, okay, two black brown dancers and I want to look for a company that suits and looks similar.
Now that's really interesting, because as you were just describing, like, the dynamic and the strength, and you looked at it as a positive, I think that's a really good way to kind of get through it. Because I remember I use Alvin Ailey as an example. Whenever the reporters would always talk about Alvin Ailey in The Guardian, or, you know, they'd talk about dance, they'd always describe the dancers as strong. You know, they'd say they're strong, they're dynamic. You know, they wouldn't say they're light. They wouldn't say, you know, it's just different language that would be used, you know, to describe Alvin Ailey Dance Company. But at the same time, when you see dancers like that, there's nothing better. You know, I think for me, I was blown away the first time I saw Alvin Ailey. You know, I saw them in New York actually and perform live. I was like, wow, this company of all black dancers that were muscular, that were built differently. And I feel you're both right to kind of accept that difference and to fight it, because there's people like Misty Copeland, you know, out there, you know, beautiful ballet dancer who's tiny, but, you know, she was told that she was too big as well. And she's tiny, as we all know. And, you know, ballet is a hard thing, but contemporary is another level, really. I suppose there's a lot of hidden underlying prejudice. And I feel that now with social media, you can fight those barriers more because there aren't any gatekeepers. Before, you know, you'd have to, especially Royal Opera House, and there's a lot to go through, you know, and they wouldn't say it outright. But I also want to, you know, what's just come to my mind is a difference between being a black female dancer and a black male dancer. Okay, so, I mean, what comes to mind is, you know, even looking at ballet as well, and looking at someone like Carlos Acosta, who has crossed all boundaries, isn't he? You know, he, from the whole Cuban dance to the whole street dance to the ballet to, there's nothing that man can't do, right? But it was, and when he was ever performing at the Royal Opera House, it would sell out like Prince, you know, it's like Prince was performing from dance. I'd always kind of see that. But I feel there's a different kind of, there's different doors that open for black male dancers than there are for black female dancers. Now, why do you think that is, guys?
Why do I think that is? I mean, what I'm aware of, it doesn't mean I think this way, but I'm aware of the image, especially if it goes to like traditional like ballet, traditional pieces, like the role of the female compared to a male is, let's say more of a flower, we could actually say, if I'm thinking of imagery. It is that kind of delicate, fairy, feminine, fluid, light, delicate, maybe emotional, vulnerable, where you think of the male is like beautiful. Yeah, beautiful. Actually, the image of beauty is something, and then you think of the male is like dominant, he's powerful, demanding,
he's either a hero or he's the villain. It's all in the scripts, it's all in the stories. So the female, she's powerful, she's a witch, you know. So that's quite an interesting question you're asking, because now black females, the black body is seen as strong and powerful, but our females, do females want to be seen that way?
Yes, that's really interesting. I suppose where I'm coming from in terms of the prejudice, you know, with regards to the acceptance, because it is that, I mean, no, first of all, I suppose dance is one of those industry where there is less men than women, I suppose. If you go for an audition, you could have 500 people going for the same audition and maybe 100 men. So you've got more of a chance, you know, because it is more of a female world in that respect. But in terms of perception and how the black woman is portrayed, I think that there is differences. You know, I think we have got the delicate flower within the black woman, and you have got the strong woman. And I feel it's about society being able to see that. And so it is interesting what you just said there, because I do, you know, I've met black dancers who are like that, you know, you see them, but it's what the media, it's how the media has portrayed us as black women. And I just wanted to see if you picked up on that, you know, as two female, or if you've ever experienced that in terms of being picked for specific roles, obviously within dance yourself.
Absolutely. Like, just thinking of the jobs that we've done in Europe and stuff, like, absolutely are, you know, it's casting, isn't it? So there's a script, there's a story that's already there. So when choreographers or scriptwriters are casting it, they're looking for the right people to suit that role. And generally, Shadi and I, we suit that kind of role of being that strong character, or maybe demonic or spiritual, or this powerhouse, this demanding, loud being, you know, because we are loud movers, we are expressive, and we express ourselves dynamically across the space physically. So they're the roles that we're naturally suited for, less so than the damsel in distress or the fragile flower that's weeping.
That's interesting, because as an actor as well, because for me it's dance and drama, but as an actor you could play both, do you know, sometimes, really, couldn't you? Do you know, if you're a good actor and you could become that character. But it's really interesting how in some ways you can be typecast, and I feel that's where I'm kind of going, really. You know, you can be typecast as a black female dancer, but
Charlie and I like to create our own work, and kind of one of the reasons why we started our own company is
brilliant.
We wanted to push ourselves and, you know, put ourselves up in challenges by doing different roles. And by being the artistic directors, the choreographers and the dancers in our company, we can do that. We can create the opportunity ourselves or the things that we want to do instead of relying on someone else to see it in us.
Yeah, mastering our own craft, basically.
No, that's the best way to go. And I feel that that is the way to elevation, really, isn't it, really, when you can create your own. And you are doing that with Arlene Dance Company. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing now. I see you're collaborating with, you know, English National Ballet, which is brilliant, you know, to do some stuff. So talk to us a little bit about what the future holds for Arlene Dance.
The future, what we're doing right now is developing our, we're in creation actually for our outdoor production. We're hoping that will start touring in May. So that would be the first, or fingers crossed somehow, but it's outside, so it's encouraging, but that would be our fourth production, which is weird to say that actually, but it will be our fourth production. And then we're also developing a kind of mid-scale production, which will be the first time we're introducing Elaine Dance Company. So that would be in the sense of having dancers other than Christina and myself. So that's going to be an interesting transition because it's always been us.
No, that's good. That's kind of coming out of your comfort zone, I suppose, as well, really, you know, yeah. In terms of knowing each other. That sounds really exciting. It does.
And the conversations that we've just been having, we are going to, in a harsh way, we are creating that sense of gatekeepers. Like we're putting ourselves in that, in those positions. But now it's our turn to decide on how we want to make a difference, you know? And that's really exciting, but really scary.
No, you know, that is exciting. It is exciting. And I'm glad that you guys have, you know, have taken that stand. And I love the fact that you've been adaptable as well, so for creating like a site-specific piece where you're out outside, obviously, because you can't dance, you can't go to the studios, but you can dance outside. You know, no one can say you can't dance. it's just the atmosphere that changes, isn't it, really? You know, and so I love that kind of idea of that adaptability. It's very clever in order to do that and to make that work. And then just coming back to lockdown, how have you found that in terms of, we've obviously gone outside and danced, but how have you found that, you know, in terms of that transition to, as two performers, not being dancing, not dancing in the theatre, not going to studio, not doing class with like everybody else? Because there's an atmosphere, isn't there, when you go to class, there's an atmosphere and the music's going. But how has that kind of affected you with lockdown? How have you felt that's been for you guys?
So I thought, like, when the first lockdown came, it hit us like a bullet. And we had maybe like one day to be like, we were afraid to look at our emails because it was just like the subject was cancelled, postponed, question mark. So we had like a day to kind of, you know, dwell in like, oh my God, what are we going to do? But then me and Shadi again were so proactive. So we just jumped on this idea of being online and kind of fought a lot for our participants, like the people that we usually teach within schools, but then also different communities, because we tend to travel internationally and nationally to different communities to create work or to, I don't know, transfer our energy. So we put a lot of things online, which at first we were doing it for free and just trying to see who's out there and who's interested in working online. We also contacted a lot of institutions, dance institutions, just to be like, hey, we have this service, we can teach, we've like changed our class to make it work in a home environment. This is our studio. so we've been quite proactive in a sense of working, and it's kind of allowed us to extend our reach, and we've been able to reach people in Australia, to the Middle East, to Pakistan, to America, Asia. Yeah. So we've really allowed ourselves to outreach and reach a lot of people that maybe they wouldn't have the opportunity to because they didn't have the ability to travel.
Yeah,
we're trying to stay creative, so we've also made an interactive dance film which is touring now, which is strange because it's touring virtually, so we're here at home but our work is getting around the nation and around the world, and it's a 17 minute interactive film where you pick one duet to follow, and then they watch us how we reunite, and it's based on Sir Mo Farah. that he was the inspiration of how he separated from his twin Hassan and how they reunited as adults. And it kind of started the conversation of migrating and separating from families to find a better opportunity. So he's been really very proactive.
Yeah. That film's called Reunited.
I love that. I love that. That's a really powerful idea. And I love the idea of that kind of, you know, that disconnection, then that connection, and that kind of showing that emotion also through the dance. I'd really be interested to see that when you've got or follow, or I love the idea of following someone as well, picking a dancer. And I suppose that's the virtual world. It gives you those opportunities, doesn't it? So you can really work through it. Do you feel there's been more opportunities because of lockdown in terms of what, you know, if you're looking for them, do you feel there's been more in terms of the dance companies like National Ballet, who would maybe normally they're so busy they don't want to talk, that, you know, it's hard to get through those doors, hard to talk to those people. So do you feel it's been more opportunity because of that?
I think instead there has been, like, everyone's trying to make more opportunities, I'm not going to deny that, but I think it actually is bringing communities together. For example, English National Ballet, they know of the artists around London or around the nation, but no one, we haven't actually done anything all coming together. So I think this kind of pandemic's actually allowed communities to come together in one outlet. Where without pandemic, you're kind of just doing your own thing, going, going, going. You're aware of what's going on or who's around, but you have to keep doing your own, you're on your own road, you know? So I think this is really important that now everyone's being acknowledged, but also we're coming together and having conversations and being creative together. And it's all actually to share with others. So we all have the same intention, but maybe we all had different avenues to do it. But now we can actually come together and gather ideas and create even better projects.
No, totally, it's brilliant, you know, and that's like looking for the positive, because there is positives there, like you said, the global, the building of the communities, and, you know, being able to collaborate with such amazing, you know, so English, you know, says it all, really. There's good collaborations there, so there are doors that open, but you have to have the right kind of mindset, like you both do, to find that. And I feel that's really inspirational, because some people could have just sat there think, oh god, I can't dance. You know, you could have easily said that, could you? Okay, let's take some time off. But, you know, your body, your yearning to experience, what can you do? You know, going out and do the site-specific piece and, you know, knocking down doors, as you said, there's such resilience there and such fight in terms of, in a positive way, you know, to kind of push forward to make things keep going. And I suppose that's what we're all in, that kind of space now, but in different ways because of lockdown. And if you want your business to work, you're going to have that resilience, aren't you? So just because, as I'm bringing it kind of to a close now, as you look back, who, you know, from the dance world, who has it kind of inspired you?
Oh, we have a hero. his name is Andile Sotia. He's from South Africa, and he was our teacher at Northern. And he was just this... He was our hero. He was very open. He shared a lot, but his body reminded us
of us.
We saw ourselves in him as a man, but he was just so strong and elegant, and it was just everything that was inspiring for us. So we really looked up to him a lot. And also there was Kylie Williams, who was a dancer in Phoenix Dance Company, but then she went to Australian Dance Company, and she's based now in Australia.
She blew our minds. We had Andile, our hero, but he was a male hero, and we've just never seen anyone that could look like us, be like us in the flesh. Like, we have seen Alvin Ailey, but they're on stage, they're superhumans, they're untouchable in our mind when we were younger. And then we saw Kylie Williams, which was literally, she's in the studio with us across the room, got big legs like us, a big structure like us, and yet she's so fluid and elegant and strong and beautiful, wonderful, actually. And it just blew our mind up and kind of reassured that we are in the right place, we're in the right time, and there is an avenue for us. We can create a career out of this because she's done it.
You know what, that's brilliant. And I love the fact that you mentioned, you know, that the guy as well, because like you say, you could be influenced by anyone, can't you? And as I'm looking back, I think most of my people who I was inspired by, they were American dancers. I also love Bill T. Jones, actually. I actually went to his offices in Harlem when I was dancing myself, so I absolutely loved. But now in terms of British dance, I mean, I'm a lover of Hofest. I do like Hofest. I do really like their work, just in terms of the rhythms and the work they're in. But I feel, yeah, I really like their work. But I feel that you guys will be the inspirers for a lot of young people. You know, and as just in terms of your body type, in terms of what you're doing, and also in terms of British dancers, because there isn't much. I suppose you really have to look for them, don't you? And I'm sure they're out there, but you really have to look for them. But the more you put yourself out there, then the higher levels you can really kind of evolve and, you know, and dance and inspire, really.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, thank you both for coming on my show today. I just want to say really thank you. It was really nice to talk to you, and it's really lovely just to talk dance with people. That for me is just exciting. And also to talk, you know, in terms of what's happening now, because I personally do miss just being able to go and watch dance, because I think that's where I get a lot of my kind of, I get inspired by just seeing amazing dance, and then just going to Sadler's Wells or going down to the Place, because the Place is also a great place, isn't it, really, for up and coming dancers. And that not being open, but it's nice to be able to watch dance online. I know it's not the same, but it is nice to be able to do that as well. So I look forward to seeing more of your work. But thank you very much for coming on the show, guys.
Thank you for having us. Thank you so much.
It's been great.
Can I add something?
Go for it, please.
One of like the exciting things of actually speaking to you today is you mentioned about your story of like music and dance and your upbringing. And there was one moment you mentioned it, and it was in your studies where the music came on and you just improvised.
Yeah.
You didn't choreograph. You had ideas, but you just danced and the music kind of led you through. And that's kind of the metaphor of our life, actually, in a way. Like, we actually allow expression and dance and music to kind of guide us through. So we have plans, but technically we just let it go with the flow. And I thought it was really endearing to hear that and articulate so well. And I was like, that's actually what we're doing.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you. Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you for that. Because I feel like that's just, for me, dance is a spiritual experience as well, isn't it? It's not, and sometimes it's really hard when you're in a dance class and you've got kind of 1, 2, 3 and yeah. And certain restrictions you need to hear, but you want to feel the rhythm rather than kind of work through the steps. And I suppose when you allow yourself to do it, you can see it in dancers straight away. I think you guys definitely feel as you can. I can see that by just watching you online. I'd love to be able to see you live as well. It'd be really nice to see you perform live, but there's a different feeling, isn't it, when you can really feel the music.
That's it.
And allow yourself to get lost. And I think that was my way of looking back at, you know, from my young days, that was kind of my way of expressing myself and the way of kind of escaping and taking myself away from the rest of the family as well, you know, because I have a big family. So yeah, no, it's really interesting you pull that out, because it's so powerful. And I love, you know what, I love the fact, what with you guys actually today, I love the fact that you're overachievers actually, and academically really strong. Because there is sometimes that perception of, okay, let's go into the arts because, you know, there's not less academics. So it's lovely that you know, that's a choice even with that academia. And I feel that's really inspirational for people out there, you know, who have those perceptions of performing arts or dancers, that you can be allowed to do dance or do drama or do whatever it is, you know, within the arts, and, you know, and have that intelligence. And there's lots of people out there that are doing that, so it's respecting that. So yeah, just wanted to say that. Well, thank you very much, guys. Really lovely. Thank you. Take care. It was just so nice to talk to Arlene Dance Company. These girls are amazing. I love the fact that their overachievement was in mathematics. And from mathematics to being athletes, and from athletes to dancers, such an interesting journey. I love the fact they never denied their connection with their body and their Caribbean background. And I love the fact that they're evolving with their dance company and becoming real kind of entrepreneurs of dance. They have great tenacity, great resilience, and that need to dance. And because they have that need to dance, there's a passion there and that kind of striving for that success. So I do really believe in these ladies and feel they're going to be absolutely amazing and off the chart thank you for listening.